I saw it done between two families arranging a marriage. In the Bedouin culture, the man is the greater, the woman is the lesser. So the man's father went first, grandfather, I think, stepped in, and he was saying, if my son isn't everything I promised, you can cut my throat. And I, in places in the world today, if that boy turned out to be a bad guy, you'd find dad's body in the bottom of a wadi with his throat cut and sandal prints in the blood because he promised. And then the girl's father did the same. So Abraham has to bring five animals because this is going to be a big deal. I won't have time to tell you why those five. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit next time. So Abraham brings those animals, and there they are. But now the text, again, enters culture. Because the text says, a thick and dreadful darkness fell over Abraham. That's a colloquial expression, like kick the bucket in English. Doesn't mean the same as kick the bucket, but it's an expression that doesn't mean what the words do. A thick and dreadful darkness means to be scared out of your mind. Why? People, hear me. God was going to step in that blood. Abraham knew it. But God doesn't have anything to worry about, and Abraham knew that already. Abraham knew that whatever God promised, he would do. But Abraham knew that he was going to be asked to be sinless. And if all he did was put his little toe in that blood, he was a dead man. There wouldn't be any descendants. There wouldn't be a need for any land, and there certainly wouldn't be a Messiah. All he had to do was put his foot in. And I think he was saying, maybe to himself, maybe this chutzpah isn't everything it was cracked up to be. Why did I have to ask? Now, as it got dark, God comes, and if you can enter that culture, and I remember sitting in the dark, just the campfire creating the glint of light, and watching two men walk barefoot, I could smell the metallic smell of animal blood. And it hit me. Not what they were doing. That was pretty cool to watch. It hit me how profound a statement God made in a totally concrete way. He doesn't say anything. Watch what happens. It says two symbols appeared. The first was a smoking fire pot. Now, that's a very poor artist rendering, so I brought one along. This is an Iron Age fire pot. It's about 2,800 years old. Notice it's just a clay jar with a little handle on it. And before they baked it, they poked all holes in it. That's called a fire pot. In the ancient world, they didn't have bics or matches. So in the evening, the women would gather a few hot coals out of the fire. Put them in a jar like this. I've seen them much bigger than this. Put them in a jar like this. There would have been a lid on the jar. And that would stand out all night with smoke coming out of those little holes. And in the morning, you take the lid off, gather some sticks and straw, dump those coals out, and you've got a fire. In fact, the book of Proverbs says, a godly woman is a woman whose fire never goes out. Now, I've heard some interesting sermons on that. Good sermons, but I'm not sure they caught the cultural part of it. Anyway, so God shows up in the form of a symbol like this. Now, to a Jew, the emphasis of this is the smoking. God wanted to be thought of in the image of coals smoking. So it's a smoke symbol. Now, think of an example in the Bible where smoke accompanies God's appearance. Okay, when Moses was given the Ten Commandments, the pillar of cloud, we say, could be translated the pillar of smoke. The whole temple fills with smoke when Isaiah has his vision in the first part of his book. God is sometimes visualized by smoking coals and smoke. And so lo and behold, as Abraham watched, this fire pot showed up and moved between the pieces. Now, I realize it's all symbolism, but understand what God is saying. Abraham, I promised you descendants.